Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Now with McDonald's, a McDouble is only $2.50. So you can get your gym gains on or just get lunch for only $2.50. Get more value on the under $3 menu.
Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher for delivery.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Get it? The Bird Show.
Paula here needs your help. She's been lying for about a year and a half.
Yeah, she has told her soon-to-be fiancé that she has gone through the same thing that he has. He had a former fiancé who cheated on him and they broke up. Her friend, in order to get them together, said she'd gone through the same experience.
Well, it's so her friend's fault.
Went along with that story and has been going along with it ever since. Well, now she's realizing this is a bigger deal to him than it ever was to her. And she's wondering, should she come clean?
All right, so your advice for her, does she come clean? Does she just let it go? She can't just let it go. It's going to come up.
Yeah.
Like Jen said, parents are going to be around.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to come up.
Mm-hmm.
Details.
Here is Marion. Good morning. You're on Q100. Hi.
Good morning. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Good morning.
Listen, her whole relationship is based on a lie. If she wants to keep this guy, she has got to come clean with him.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, I mean, you lied to this guy to get with him. She should have come clean right away. As soon as they started hitting it off, she should have been honest with him. I think that she is just as bad as the girl who cheated on him because their relationship's not real. She's lived with this guilt the whole time, and she needs to come clean if she wants to keep him.
Ouch. I mean, that's kind of
sorry, harsh. That's the plain truth.
Okay. I'm not going to argue with you because you sound right.
All right. Thank you.
She's a person who would use your middle name if she knew it.
Just the way she said, listen.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good morning, Michelle. You're on Q100. Hi.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
I feel bad for her. I don't condone what she did, and I know when she comes clean, it's going to wreck her relationship, but that is a total guy move. It was a total guy move on her part.
It is.
Like, oh, yeah.
That is something a dude would do, where, like, in the beginning, he says, you know,
oh, baby, I know how you feel.
You're saying anything you can to hook up.
Yes.
Because, you know, she's only going to be around 3 weeks. Big deal.
Yeah. You make up your nationality that's completely not yours.
Uh-huh.
Like, oh, yeah, I'm from Germany, too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Deep roots in Germany. And then you meet, like, she comes to meet your family, and they're, like, Japanese.
Who was it who told the story about the guy who was, the hot girl had cats, but he was deathly allergic to cats.
Oh, and he told her he liked cats.
Yeah, he's like, I love them, but that would just like totally juice up my Claritin before I went over to his house, and he was awake for like 4 days.
It's a little different than being engaged before.
Details.
Paula, you had how many times, if you were counting back now, 18 months, how many times did it come up in conversation where you just could have put a stop to it and say, look, let's set the record straight right now?
I would say that during the first, like, 4 months or so, it was like something that we talked about a lot.
Oh, you talked about a lot. Oh.
But then over the past year, it hasn't come up at all. So it was really a beginning of the relationship thing that went away.
It just depends how detailed you got in those conversations and what you, like, you mapped out.
Well, you know, I always tried to make it like my situation wasn't as bad as his. Like, oh, you know, like your wedding was only, you know, a month away. Like, we broke up a few months before my wedding. Like,
oh,
I feel like it made like focus
no,
on him more.
Oh no,
yeah. That makes it even worse.
He calls up to check in with her, and she's like, "Oh, you know what? Today's just a bad day. Some days are good. Some days are bad." Something like this can last with you forever.
Oh, man.
All right, so Karen here, I think, is going to tell you that, you know, she just thinks you should let it go.
What?
Hey, Karen, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Okay, thank you.
Good. Yes, I think that her relationship has gone to the point now where she should probably just let it go. I'm sure she can cover some kind of way. especially since she tried to downplay it. I mean, she could just kind of tell her family, you know, to say it was something, you know, a quick engagement, and he broke my heart and just let it go.
You can't ask your family to engage in your lie.
Because there's always going to be one family member who doesn't like you as much as you think they do, and and will either refuse to go along with it or intentionally tank it, or is just an old crazy as bat crap aunt. He's like, why are you saying that? It's not true. You're just trying to get yourself laid.
And it goes against every parental lesson they ever taught you. Don't lie. You got to tell the truth. So if you go back to your parents and you say, you got to help me with a lie, it doesn't matter if you're 12 or 28 or whatever. Good morning, Brittany. You're on Q100.
Hey, guys. I think you should really help her out because this is a pretty big lie. I'm like, it's gone on way too long, and I think she needs your help on it.
What do you mean? Like,
you think Bert should pose
as her? Should call him and have her on the other line, and she come out to him, and you guys try to downplay it a little bit. Like, she loves you so much. She came on the radio, and she wanted our advice, and she really loves you.
I think Bert should.
What the hell's wrong with you?
Should great play the role.
You can
of
stop
her.
Right here. I love the way Jeff, for 7 years, has volunteered me for the most embarrassing and difficult assignments.
No, I think you should just be out somewhere she's going to be and play the role of the ex-fiance. And you guys get into it in public where she says, I'm never even going to acknowledge your existence again. It's like it never happened. And then she lives by that code.
Hey, good morning. David, you're on Q100.
Hey, thanks for having me. Look, she needs to keep up the lie, unfortunately. She needs to tell her boyfriend, look, you know, last time you're talking to your friends, and, you know, you might not bring that up anymore. It hurts too much. And, you know, just concentrate on the future. And that's the way to handle it.
You are not representing guys very well right now.
Hey, I'm trying to help her out, man.
So she needs to go to him and go, look, this is part of our past. I never want to talk about it ever again because it still has like this little twinge of pain. So we can never talk about it ever again.
Yes, Aileen, look, honey, I know you're telling your friends that, you know, this happened, whatever, but do me a favor. It hurts too much. Let's not bring this up anymore.
No way, dude.
No, no, no.
But you have to allow him to still talk about his experience because if it doesn't, you know, if he doesn't feel the same way.
Watch him. Like, he's going to like put it into his wedding speech.
I just want to say to everybody here right now
that
the past is in front of everybody. The past is the past.
Well, what if they go to, like, counseling?
She was engaged, I was engaged, and now we're finally at the wedding that we were meant to be at.
Half the people there are going to be going, what are you talking about, dude? You got to come clean. There is no other option.
You have to be like, my family is still very sensitive. My mom cries about it every time you bring it up, so don't ever tell my mom.
No.
Paula, there is no option except coming clean with this guy. There is zero wiggle room here. You got to say something.
With your friend.
You think my friend and I should do it together?
No.
Yes.
What do you mean?
Why?
Because she started the lie.
So what? This is her boyfriend for 18 months.
And it's always nice to have a partner in crime. A little comfort. Yeah, bring your friend along.
Yeah, I got to be honest, from listening to all of the advice, it doesn't seem like any of it's going to make sense unless I just, tell the truth.
You got to do it immediately, especially if you know this engagement. He's about to pop the question to you. You got to get this done now.
And I feel sick about it.
I think you're overthinking it.
Yeah, you're not going to be happy, but I don't think it's a deal breaker. Do you guys think it's a deal breaker?
At first, I didn't think so, but I'm confused about how much conversation she had about it. The detail that she
He is going to feel betrayed
twice. She said 4 months is how long they talked about it, and she gave detail.
Jen, you're saying deal breaker?
I think it is. I mean, I don't think she can go on without telling the truth because I think eventually it'll come out and it'll hurt worse later. But I think he's going to have a real issue.
She played a long way because too
it's
much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's betrayal twice. Are you really good and bad?
Who's going to say no? Who's going to say no?
Well, I mean,
seriously,
that's the only thing I can think of is like, what if we're married for 20 years and we have this amazing marriage and like we have kids and then we're grandparents and then like one day, you know, when we're 70, I'm just like, oh, by the way, you know, remember when
I wouldn't wait till then.
And like by that time, it really won't matter.
You won't be as good in bed at 70 as you are now, so I would do it.
You gotta tell him something. Can we check back with you next week to find out how you handle this whole thing?
Yeah, of course.
How quickly, I mean, is this engagement, do you think, like, it's going to happen tomorrow, this weekend, next week?
Oh, no, I'm kind of thinking, like, holiday season, like,
okay.
I'm thinking probably around, like, Christmas time.
Okay. Don't give yourself too much time.
No.
Because you won't do it. The more you think about it, the more you won't do it.
Yeah.
All right, Paula, keep us posted, all right?
All right, thank you, guys.
All right, bye-bye.
Get it? The Burt Show. Listen. It's the Burt Show.
So we're going to get into some really... This is pretty brave stuff here. This is really, really bold stuff. Allison and her daughter, very open dialogue just about everything, as your husband was explaining to me Saturday night. You guys really just talk about it all.
All of it.
So when sex came up, this was you were not scared about it.
Well, you know, we've been talking... You know, as open as, I mean, as young as Hayden's age. You know, I heard you make that comment. Yeah. I mean, they come home with questions, you know, and they start very innocently. And, you know, I went and read the expert advice about how to talk to your kid. Like, I have my own. And then I read Dr. Laura Berman, and her advice is exactly my advice, which I was like astounded. I was thrilled. I was like, oh my God. And the whole point is to start an open dialogue when they're young.
Can I take from this that you know it's time to have the conversation with your child when they come to you about it first?
Yeah, well, you know, part of it, like, my daughter never put the pieces together. Like, she started off, you know, when she was, like, you know, I gave the, well, you have a vagina and your brother has a penis and mommy this. But there was no, how does the baby get made? Like, it was, okay, there's sperm, okay, there's eggs, there's a baby. The mommy carries it, but it wasn't, how does the sperm get in the, So at one point when she was about 10, you know, like going into the fifth grade, I knew she was going to middle school. I had to sit her down and go, so have you given much thought as to how that happens?
So she never brought it up. You initiated the first conversation.
Not the very first one. I mean, they start talking and they start hearing about it. You know, the question, my mother's an elementary school teacher, and what she said to me was, you always answer their questions. And that's one of the things you'll hear on the tape is me saying, what are your questions? Not, I'm just going and telling you how it is. Because she's not, my daughter is innocent. She's so, not, which when you hear these questions, you're not going to believe it. But there's this point on the tape where it shows how innocent she really is. But they're hearing all of this stuff. You know, one of the internet sites, just to let you know, there's a kids website that's called The Dollhouse. And then there's, and it's spelled D-O-L-L-Z, because D-O-L-L-H-O-S-E. Is a porn site. So you got 7 and 8 year olds going to the doll's house and hello. And that's young. Like that was when they were 8 and I had to explain, yeah, there's naked people on the internet. And you, if you see that, don't go there. Yeah. That's another conversation with my son, you know, that I have a 16 year old son as well. So, you know, that's a whole other different set of conversations than you have with your daughter. And, you know.
Why is that?
Because, you know, mothers and daughters have a different girls are much different about talking about sex. And, you know, I leave a lot of the conversation with my son up to my husband and, you know, my husband and then the father of my kids. So I have a step parent situation in my home. So, so, you know, the men are empowering my son because it is uncomfortable to talk to your opposite. But then again, you know, you're going to hear on the tape, my son is able to say the word vagina at the dinner table, you know? So, you know, I mean, if y'all didn't know this, you know, I mean, Melissa and Jen know because that's where we met, but, you know, I'm Eve Ensler of the Vagina Monologues makeup artist.
Okay.
So, you know, to be able to say the word vagina, I mean, I probably wasn't until I was probably till I saw the Vagina Monologues could I actually like leave the place going, vagina, okay, I can say it. You know?
That's one of the points of the Vagina Monologues is for women to not be so, I don't know, protective or you
afraid
know,
to afraid. Say it. Right. Afraid, like it's like this taboo thing. And, you know, and part of it is that our genitals are on our inside. We're not empowered to understand our bodies. I started doing some statistics about orgasm, which is the first thing that she talks about on the tape. So when you play it, it's like, it's because I didn't even know girls could have orgasms until I was in college. And my mother, like, told me about the nuts and bolts, but you forgot one important thing.
Shoot, there's some married women listening right now that just found out about it.
Yeah. I'm almost 40 and didn't
It's insane. Like 35% of women can't have an orgasm.
35%?
Wow. Look at the actual. I mean, my husband's like, don't look at all the statistics, blah, blah, blah. But the statistics.
Yeah, your husband was prepared, man. I mean, he sent us like bio this morning. Oh. He sent you with a book. He is ready.
He's awesome. 43% of American women are either non-orgasmic or will be non-orgasmic for a significant period of their lives.
Wow.
Because I just. 43%?
Because
I just think. Half. I think a lot of women don't know how to achieve that for themselves, and they don't know how to ask for
it. That's the point. And that was the point of Dr. Laura Berman. That's the point of what I'm saying is that if there's so much mystery around this, if that's how many women don't have an orgasm themselves, how are you going to talk to your kid about it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you need to know your own body first. Right.
Well, I think you look at the other side of it. I mean, that 57% of women are having a great time.
No, they're not. No, they're not. The 57%, only 30% of them It's out of 100, only 17 can orgasm during intercourse, and they think there's something wrong with that they can't. Like, there's not enough information about, hey, the part that gives you pleasure is not attached to your vagina, people. And that's not even, like, I didn't know what that was. Mm-hmm. What a clitoris. Well, like, what was that? Oh, that's what that is? I mean, that was exactly what my daughter said to me when I was like, and when we talked about your vagina, and this is your clitoris. And what's that for? Oh, it's only attached to every nerve ending on your body.
You use all those words, everything with her.
Everything.
I mean, at 10.
Oh, listen to I think it's time for the tape because you're gonna, it's really, and you know, and I just want to say.
You're gonna teach a lot of adult women a lot of things too.
I think so too. How I've gone from makeup artist to sex therapist here is, you know,
it's called destiny.
Yeah, you know, just as a background, everybody, you know, yes, I am a makeup artist, but also I have a sociology degree, and I was fascinated once I took my first women's studies class that I had had sex as much as I had had up to that, not knowing that, you know, about having an orgasm, that I went on to take every sex class I could possibly take in college. Mm-hmm. So that I've always been fascinated by the study of sex. Like, I've just always been fascinated by it. So here we go.
Jeff is going to play the part of the FCC today.
Okay.
So if there's anything that he deems would get us in trouble, he's hitting delay.
Okay, very good.
And there are some parts of the audio that we had to beep out. My fear was that if we beeped out too much, it sort of takes away from what I want to learn today. You know, seriously, like, this is my blueprint at this point.
So is this different than what the last that I heard?
No, I think Josh beeped out everything that Rob asked him to beep out.
And we have the names bleeped out, too, of a couple of the girls.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. So, and once again, if you're listening to this with kids in the car, I would suggest, you know, if you haven't had the talk, the birds and the bees talk, then this is probably not the time.
Maybe it is. Allison and her daughter, and her daughter came to her with some questions, but just realized that the history with them, they've been talking about this for 7 years already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, a long time. I mean, this is not a conversation that happened one time. This is an evolvement over with her comfortableness of being able to come to me, which is the whole point, is that you want to be the source of information for your kid.
Right.
Right, period.
We're going to run these in clips rather than listen to the whole thing. We'll run it in clips, and you can just go ahead and comment as the conversation went on.
Okay.
Well, you said you didn't explain to me well what a girl orgasm is. Is it just for, like, pleasure?
Yes.
That's not fair to the guy.
No, it's not. Because they only can have one orgasm, and we can have, like, lots and lots and lots.
And then keep going
and
stuff?
Uh-huh. Like, they have one, usually cool. They're done. Usually.
Why? Because they're 2 weeks.
Because they're worn out. Because they just, like, they just had millions of potential babies. One of most potential babies.
Is that the choke and click, Mom? Where he has an orgasm too fast?
This just shows how innocent she is.
Now you got it.
Now I get it.
He's like, oh.
Naive, uneducated.
You know, like, and she's finally, I mean, I think we can all remember those times when, you know, we're watching a movie and finally the joke that you heard as a kid transforms into the joke as an adult. Like in Click, you know, she's watched that movie 100 times and never got the part where he comes in 30 seconds and he's supposed to, you know, and then the rest of the whole movie.
Can't use that word.
Okay.
You can say orgasm, but
orgasm.
You can't use the C
word. I can say orgasm. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. We're walking a really, really, really tight line here.
You
should have
given me the rules, you know, to what I can say and not say that will help. Okay, good. Sorry.
Okay, so we can't say that one.
Can't say that.
But I want to say in that first clip, I mean, just the conversation you had there was educational for so many, because that discovery about the number of women's ability and men's, I didn't figure that out until much older. There's no way I knew that as a teenager.
I think it is fascinating. She's like, wait, Mom, that's the joke in that movie. Like, that's where she's learning this from, is the movies.
Yeah.
So she won't ask you it immediately during the movie. It'll be like a recall situation, a couple of months or...
Or not even. I mean, it'll happen inside of a conversation later, like she did there. We're talking about the difference between men and women and men and women's orgasms, which are totally different.
Sure, wait till Hayden goes and watches Up as a grown-up.
Oh, my God, don't mess with Disney. Stop.
There's got to be another movie you can play with. All right.
That's a sweet movie.
Here's more with Allison and her 14-year-old daughter.
It was funny. Like, there's this girl at her school that just kept screaming all the time.
Orgasm.
It was hilarious. And then she texted saying
I'm like, orgasming.
Where?
I'm orgasming. And then the kid says,
like,
where?
You don't get what she's talking about, do you? And he's like, no.
No, because most boys don't even know that girl.
Explain that up to that
okay,
point.
Okay, so they're texting, you know, are you orgasming?
To each other?
Yes.
Just as a joke?
Yeah, as a joke. Okay. Are you orgasming? Are you orgasming? Are you orgasming? And then the kid's like, where? And it was like, you know, so if you're saying I'm blanking, mm-hmm. well, where are you blanking?
Like, are they talking about in a classroom?
Yeah, and they're texting backs and forth. And in fact,
kids are texting that.
Oh, yeah,
and it's just a big old
called
joke.
Sexting. That's right. What the doctor calls it. Is the Dr. Berman who's the expert on the Oprah show, says it's called sexting. I didn't even know that word until before. I was like, oh my God, it's sexting. Like, what's
that? Wow.
So here's where I'm confused. Are they having sex talk with each other, or are they just joking about?
Oh, that comes on where they're talking back and forth about. I'm like, well, where do you learn this from? She goes, oh, we learn from each other. And I'm like, are there any parents? She goes, oh, no, none of the kids talk to their kids. I said, are you the expert? And she's like, yeah, well, kind of. Everybody's coming to me. I'm like, oh.
Wow.
Oh.
Like, how are you?
And I know all these girls.
Never mind.
I didn't learn that girls could.
What does that mean? I'm like, nothing.
I didn't learn that girls could have orgasms until I was in college.
But seriously, like, in Friday the 13th, some people, like, asked, what does she mean? Because when two of them were having sex and stuff, and they both were like, I'm close too, and stuff like that. She didn't know what that meant.
Right.
And I'm like...
Yeah, well, I didn't know what it meant either.
So they'll ask each other, they'll see the movie, then they'll come to school, and they'll ask each other. Yeah.
That was at a sleepover.
Well, that's Friday the 13th. I was in fifth or sixth grade, and we were reading Judy Blume Forever. I don't know.
Absolutely.
And that, you know, and that topic was in the book, and I don't know what we're talking,
talking
about.
My first lover. Did you blank? I looked at him, I was like, I guess so. I think I say that to her. I was like, I had no idea. I think it's on there coming up.
I'm not sure which one, because I'm moving all around here.
We'll find it or not.
This is more of the conversation about that kids have at school about sex.
Mm-hmm. Will you talk about it yet?
No, I don't.
No, like, nobody kids talk about it?
Usually, like, only, I don't ask them if they talk about that crap with their parents.
Well, does anybody just talk about it? I mean, do you make jokes about it now?
Yeah, of course we do.
And does anybody know what they're talking about?
Some of them.
I mean, they make jokes about all of it, but do they know what it means?
They don't talk about, like, yeah, they do. Yeah, of course they do. They probably, they don't learn it from their parents. They learn it from their friends.
So the message there is loud and clear.
Yeah.
That parents aren't talking to the kids. They're learning. The kids don't have any idea what they're talking about, yet they're educating each other.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. They're, some of these statistics, you know, are saying that, only 4% of girls say their beliefs about sex are mostly influenced by their mothers.
4%.
Read that one more time.
Only 4% of girls say their beliefs about sex are mostly influenced by their mothers.
Wow.
Then
where are they getting the biggest influence from?
From their friends.
From their friends, yeah.
4%?
In the Burt Show.
And where are the, in the Burt Show. And where, but the question is then where are they getting this information, everybody? The internet.
It sounds like to me from the conversation with your daughter, pop culture.
Yep.
Movies.
Movies.
TV shows. Like
all
the CW, who's going to have the threesome on Gossip Girl.
So
do they even know what a threesome is?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
They do?
Oh, yeah.
She knows what that means.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. That's crazy.
Oh, yeah.
The first time I had sex, the guy asked me if I was going to, I had no idea what he meant.
Did he have to tell you?
No, I just kind of pretended like I knew what he was talking about. Seriously, never told me. Oh, wow. I didn't know until I was in college, and then I was in my class, and I went, oh, well, you kind of left out the important part that girls don't necessarily have orgasms while they're having intercourse.
Oh.
Wow. And if you don't know.
You had to take a class on that?
Yeah, I took a great class.
And if you're just checking us out this morning,
class on that, she's like fascinated.
Allison here recorded one of the conversations that she had with her 14-year-old daughter about sex, and this is the result of it. Here is there has she ever come to you with something that is so graphic that you couldn't answer?
Not that I couldn't answer. You know, one of the things that Dr. Berman says is that when they come to you, you have to be as least reactive as possible. That if you hesitate for a moment, they're not going to come to you again.
What was the subject matter?
Oh, it was about, I don't know, how do I say,
just write it down.
Okay.
You're making me nervous. While she's every time you open your mouth, I'm having a panic attack.
And while she's doing
the FCC's not nearly as liberal as I am.
While she's writing it. I'm doing my best.
Because I remember in that Judy Blume Forever that I was talking about, that Millie Pete, who's, you know, much older than me, like my friend and I did not know what some of these passages meant in that book. And I remember us reading Mom the passages in the book. And I remember being relieved when she didn't react, when she just flat out, as matter of factly. Now, I would love to go back to her now and talk about the panic she had.
Mm-hmm.
But we were in fifth and sixth grade talking about these adult teenagers in this book having sex and everything about it. And I remember these matter of factness that my mother had in explaining or talking or saying, you know, it's okay that you read that and feel free to come and ask me any more questions. The sense of relief I will always remember. And I never felt a block in asking my family questions, her or my older sister, from then on, which I think was a lot safer for me than it would have been if I had gone to ask my 12-year-old. You know, I'm only 10, so let me ask a 12 or 13-year-old about what this means, and they may have tried to show me what that meant, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so one of the main things that she said is
you can't say that.
You know, I can't say that. So oral sex where the male is the recipient.
Got you.
Okay.
And how old was she when she asked you about that?
Just a couple months ago.
So that's 14 years old.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And that was, but she was so concerned about what that was. Like, okay, what is that? What is that?
Did she use the initials for it when she came home?
Oh, no. It was the actual
slang word for it.
Okay.
So
she had heard about it from her friends. She immediately comes home to ask her mom about it, which I don't think a lot of girls would do. Mm-hmm. I don't think I would have at that age.
And she's she gets so flustered. Like, you'll hear, and I'm like, I just like, what is that? Like, and then when I tell her, she's like, oh my God, it's disgusting. I'm never doing that. Oh my God, how do people do that? And I'm like, well, I guess you'll find out. Apparently it feels really good.
Here's Jared. Good morning. You're on Q100.
Good morning, Bert Show.
Good morning. How are you?
Wonderful. I had a comment and something I wanted to add. The male orgasm is one in its own, because a lot of times men think that an orgasm and the act of ejaculating are one and the same, and actually they're not. A male can have multiple orgasms without ejaculating.
Isn't that the whole tantric thing.
Yeah, it's a tantric. You know, I'd say that is if I'm interested in hearing
saving,
a class
tantric sex till 15.
that's the advanced course.
Yeah, well, yeah, that is the advanced course.
I think tantric sex till you have your driver's permit, young lady.
I think some of the fears from parents in talking to their kids about it and being open about it is that it gives them permission to go do it.
Yeah.
What would you say to a parent who said, well, I don't want to talk about that with my kids, because if I tell them what that slang word means, then they're going to go do it.
Okay. It's the main thing that I'm going to say over and over is information is not permission. Information is not permission.
Do you say that to her?
Absolutely. That is, and she knows that, and she is so empowered. We were actually up last night. I wish I had the recorder last night, you guys. I got to have one now, because one, she's totally into it, and she's also agreed. She thinks it's so important. You know, we ended up talking till midnight last night about all this, because I was very concerned about revealing my identity.
Mm-hmm.
I was very concerned about people knowing that what she knows in these conversations, because that could be, I don't know if I would have been that comfortable going, hey, I know all about oral sex and I know all about all this stuff in front of other boys. Like, what would they think of me that I knew all that stuff?
Mm-hmm.
And she's just like, oh no, I'm totally empowered. She's a great, she want her on. She's willing to come and talk about
it. Is that right?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
So, and I wonder if more information keeps them from wanting to go find out.
Yeah, well, she now isn't afraid. Like, she's not afraid. And, you know, I just want to say, this one thing, you know, that Eve, a quote that Eve has. And if you don't know this, Eve Ensler has a new play coming out that's called I Am an Emotional Creature, The Secret Life of Girls. And it's actually going to be a V-Day movement for teens. And it talks about a lot of these unspoken things with girls. And I've gotten to read the whole thing. It's just so, I cried. I had my own emotional reaction to that because I had a very emotional, you know, teenager. But one of the things that she says is that the whole, you know, teaching your kid abstinence, like, oh, don't do it. Oh, don't do it. Mm-hmm. You know, it says there's no evidence today that abstinence-only education delays teen sexual activity. Recent research shows that abstinence-only strategies may deter contraceptive use among sexually active teens, increasing their risk of unintended pregnancy and STDs. 6 in 10 teens have sex before they leave high school, and 730,000 teenage girls will get pregnant this year.
Wow, that's astonishing. All right, we'll take some of your calls. People obviously want to talk about how they found out about it, the myth that they thought when they were younger, and once they got an education, realized, okay, everything I knew when I was younger was wrong.
You're on The Burt Show. The Burt Show.
The reporter we had, and it was Wendy Saltzman from CBS Atlanta, who was in here yesterday, and she told us about this report that they were going to air last night where they hid these tiny little cameras in cars, and the cars were healthy, fine, and took them into different garages and mechanics and, you know, like quick oil change places and said, can you take a look at this and tell me what it needs?
Well, actually, it wasn't, she was going in, they said, we just need an oil change.
Right.
And they wanted to see what the mechanic was going to come back with. Because the car, one, didn't need an oil change and didn't need anything. And they wanted to see what the mechanics were going to come back with and what they were going to try to sell them and whether you can trust your mechanic or not.
We have to pick up Joe on the voice disguiser. Joe is a mechanic. Mm-hmm. And before we play this audio, I haven't heard the audio yet. Josh has heard the CBS Atlanta audio from last night and says it's pretty interesting and a little bit disturbing if you have to take your car in for work.
Okay.
Joe is a mechanic. Hey, Joe.
Hey, how's it going, Bert Joe?
Good morning.
Good. You're in the voice disguiser.
Okay, good. I just had a comment. I work for a well-known mechanic shop, and our owner says there's always three things wrong with a car, whether there is or not. You just have to find it and sell it.
Really?
Wow. Always three things. So what's the most typical three things that you would say?
Like, what's an easy one?
An easy one is windshield wipers, brakes, coolant flush.
So you will, even if somebody's wipers are perfectly fine or could just be made good with just being, you know, wiped off, you'll say, well, you got to replace your wipers because that's your boss's mandate?
Yeah, even if they're fine.
Wow.
Brakes too. Well, if you're getting four tires, they always tell you to try to sell brakes.
Yeah, because, I mean, we talked about this yesterday. Most people don't know even how their car works. Mm-hmm. You know, they know to put the key in the ignition, and that's all you do. And so if somebody said that my coolant needs flushing, I'll be like, oh, really? Okay, you know, sure.
Do you have
charge me.
Do you have either something that you've done or something that you've witnessed? What would be the biggest discrepancy, like somebody coming into the garage for a $40 service, whatever needs to be done, and they walked out spending thousands. Have you witnessed anything that significant?
Well, I've witnessed someone coming in for a 1999 oil change and leaving with about $800 worth of transmission service and radiator flushes, brakes.
And that was all,
unneeded?
Yeah, unneeded.
Jesus.
Wow.
That's awful.
See, the way the mechanics work is it doesn't show up because they said they get paid by the hour. But whatever mechanic sells the most service parts, they get bonuses.
Do you not feel bad for doing that to somebody?
Yeah. Yeah, I have to keep a job.
If you don't do that, will you be fired?
Oh, yeah. If you don't put up numbers, you lose your job.
Wow. Thanks for the call, Joe.
Wow. So you get a commission on the services you sell.
Hey, Emily, welcome to the show.
Yeah, I went to a car mechanic on Lenox Road.
Okay.
About a month and a half ago for a routine oil change. Was told that I needed to replace all four tires, which I had just replaced a month before.
Mm-hmm.
Was told I needed a complete brake system for $3,000, which had been done 6 months before. Was told I needed a coolant and radiator flush.
Mm-hmm.
And the kicker was I was told I needed to replace my front and back windshield wipers, which then I started to laugh at the guy because I don't have back windshield wipers.
Oh, my God.
That's funny.
Oh, wow.
And there was about 10 people in the waiting room, and I said to the guy, you know, you would have gotten any girl who walked in the door today with all that until you told her she needed back windshield wipers, and then you just lost the sale.
So did you tell all the people in
Good
the waiting
for you.
Room?
I said it in front of all them. One
awesome.
Guy stood
Good.
Up and started clapping for me.
That's awesome.
Good for you.
Random applause is always good. So these are some clips from CBS Atlanta last night. This is Wendy's report. So Wendy, I haven't heard these yet, so let's just play them in order. The first one is 52.
Express Lube.
CBS Atlanta News took this car to be inspected by our station mechanic at WT Standard. Then we rigged the car with three hidden cameras before we put it back on the road.
We mounted one here in the front, one here underneath the bumper in back. The final one was hidden here in the hood up front.
Our producers then took the car into 10 repair shops to get an oil change.
What's really necessary today?
And we were upsold at 5 of the 10 stores we visited.
Everything is necessary.
At Express Lube on Ponce, we were sold an air filter, power steering flush, and a coolant flush that our mechanic said we didn't need, and a rear differential service that Express Lube said was needed based on mileage. The differential is the set of gears that transfers the power from the transmission to the tires. The total bill was $275.
So actually, technically, I'm trying to save you as much money as I can.
Wow.
They can upsell you to like $400 and then chop $100 off it and make it seem like you're getting a great deal. Number 53.
Our next stop, Express Lube in Dunwoody. They sold us a rear and front differential and a transfer case service.
Fluids need to be changed out.
Okay.
Drained and then put in.
They should have been able to inspect the rear differential fluid to see that it was clean. We had just had it changed at their Atlanta store the day before, and they never did some of the work they charged us for. Our camera showed they never flushed the rear differential. All the technician did was fill it with more fluid until it overflowed. And in the front?
It just looks dirty.
Our hidden cameras and an inspection by our mechanic showed Express Lube never flushed it. They left dirty fluid in the front differential. Our total charge was $135.
Wow.
You know, it's funny. That just reminds me that Katie had an experience one time where she had gone to get service, and then when she went to a separate place to get the next service.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And they explained to her that the past service had not been done. You know,
so like she went for an oil change.
So she went,
and
they're like,
"This
is things look much worse than they should." You know, based on the mileage you say you've put on these fluids, and so and I totally forgot about that.
Again, I gotta get. Hey, David.
Davis. Yes.
All right, we're gonna. What's your name?
Davis. D-A-V-I-S.
Oh, Davis. Hang on the line, okay? Don't hang up because I want to get to your call, but we're gonna play a couple more clips. All right.
All right.
I'm assuming you're a mechanic.
Right.
All right, hold on. The Jiffy Lube Indicator.
At Jiffy Lube Indicator, we were again sold a rear differential service, as well as a transmission service and a radiator fluid exchange. And our mechanic's advice?
Well, that's where it looks new, and then I would say we don't need service here.
Remember, our fluid was clean and had already been serviced twice. And again, like Express Lube, they didn't do a flush like they said they would. They just added more fluid and charged us for work that was never done. Back at our mechanic?
So this was an upsell?
Yeah, it was upsell.
The mechanic could have also inspected the coolant, which was flushed the day before, but they upsold us on that service too for another $89.
This is not going well.
No way.
For these guys, would you even know going in? Like I don't know what the difference.
I know that's and that's why they're able to do it is because nobody knows. I don't know my car. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it does, and so I think and they take full advantage of knowing that everybody's
so
ignorant that they come
to
in.
Do? Like, I wonder how do you protect yourself, you know? Except for going to mechanic school yourself.
I remember, or finding, like she suggested yesterday, you just find one person that you like.
But how do you find them without putting cameras on your own car and seeing what they're doing, you know?
I remember when I was a kid, like my dad used to change his own oil. Mm-hmm. Like he was able to fix things. But I think what happened was one, car service got less expensive. You know, like I think it doesn't cost as much to take
you. I think cars are more complicated than they
cars
used to be.
And cars have computers and this and that. And I'm clueless.
Mm-hmm. Well, it seems to me like if you go to one of these chain stores, then you're having the problem. But there's no mom and pop clips on here. Like if you go to a mom and pop mechanic, apparently they're doing the job.
My dad does. He's always gone to the same mechanic he's known for, mm-hmm. you know, 20, 30 years or whatever it is. And they're buddies and they've known each other a long time. And that's who he trusts. And that's the only one he'll mm-hmm. go to.
But remember when we talked
for
to Wendy,
everything.
When we talked to Wendy yesterday and I asked about dealerships, you know, because part of their investigation did not include, you know, brand dealerships where there are still reports that goes on. So I think it goes on. I think it's based on the people, not just the fact that if they're mom and pop or chain, you know?
Right.
Let's play the last clip. This is from the Decatur Goodyear.
Decatur Goodyear off Claremont was our most expensive stop, with recommended repairs totaling more than $1,100.
Oh, my God. Nothing urgent that needs to be.
I mean, all of it's urgent.
Again, we were recommended to do a front and rear differential service and a transmission flush and spark plugs.
Definitely start getting some of it done before you have a catastrophe.
And when we returned to confirm we absolutely needed the repairs, Goodyear tacked on another recommendation, a brake fluid flush on top of the transmission flush.
Is the one that concerns me the most. I mean, dirty transmission fluid is supposed to be like a red fluid, mm-hmm. and this is almost black.
Oh, okay.
And brake fluid, same way. Brake fluid is supposed to be clear, and it's almost black.
Again, our mechanic said it was completely unnecessary.
There's absolutely nothing wrong with that.
Okay. Yeah.
Fluid's clear.
It is clear.
If I worked, by the way, at CBS Atlanta, I would make a lot of fun of Wendy for saying my fluid's clear a lot. Like that could be ringtones and stuff.
I can't wait till she approaches these people tonight.
That's tonight.
That's gonna be awesome.
Yeah.
Hey, Alex, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks. I was just kind of listening to this, and it sounds a little ridiculous at what's going on. I know a guy that's actually been here in Georgia for years, and just doesn't know how to get his stuff out there. He kind of does advocate stuff like this. He does a membership fee kind of thing to where he keeps all your records for your cars. If you ever have an issue with your car, you call him up, tell him, hey, I got a knocking that's going on over here. He tells you a couple different, you know, reputable shops to take it to, people that he knows, not these chain things that have blown up the way that they have just mm-hmm. based on, you know, ripping people off. His company is called Repair Busters, and that's basically what he does. If you call him up, like I said, mentioning that you have the knock, you tell him what they quoted you at, and he'll kind of tell you there's no way that that's an issue with your car because that doesn't have anything to do with that part.
So you said it's a membership thing or whatever, so you're paying him regardless, so it's not like he makes any money off of saying that it is or is not a problem.
Correct. It's a one-time yearly fee, and so he does that.
It's actually brilliant.
Isn't it? And his biggest thing is he just doesn't know how to get his name out there. He's got a MySpace page right now. I've tried to tell him about the Facebook and the Twitter and everything, and you know, he's very mechanically inclined. If he could work on cars for people all the time, he would. His biggest thing is he can't stand watching people get ripped off the time.
What's his MySpace, you know, site? What's his MySpace page?
I think it's Repair Busters. Let's see if I can. Yeah, MySpace.com/RepairBusters.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to put you on hold, too, and just to confirm that information, and we'll have Carl double check it, and then that's something we could put up on our website because I think that would be, and it, you know what,
great help.
Just like Jen said, I mean, you know, you feel lost, and what do you do to protect yourself?
Hey, David, welcome to the show.
How are you?
Or Davis? I'm sorry, this is Davis. How are you?
Davis, yes.
Davis, the mechanic.
Yes.
What's up?
This is ridiculous. These places that you already have on here, I mean, they're notorious for charging too much for things that, you know, aren't even right. I used to work for one of the places that you actually spoke of is in a different state, though, and I just had to leave and start my own business because it's just ridiculous.
But some people don't know that.
Yeah, do they encourage you? You said you used to work for them, so you're encouraged by your bosses to upsell and
Yes, and unfortunately, it was actually on a bonus level, whereas if you sold so much in a month, then you got an extra such amount of money, and, you know, yeah, the money looked good, but, I mean, just sitting there taking people for their money.
Yeah, so you're in sales if you work there, not in mechanics. You're there to sell people on stuff instead of fix their cars.
Well, I started off in sales, but then I couldn't hang with sales because sitting there lying to the people to their faces.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, I don't have a poker face.
You know what? If a company is smart, they would advertise, like, no bonuses or no commissions. Like, when I buy electronics and computers and stuff, if there's a commission free, like, I just feel more...
Mm-hmm.
Like, if the dude talking to me doesn't have anything invested in what... Mm-hmm. How much I spend, I just feel more comfortable with it.
That was all my years with working with the Shane Company.
Yeah.
For jewelry. Their salespeople earn on commission.
Right. So you go in there and they don't care if you buy a $100 diamond or a $10,000 diamond.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Hey, Susanna, welcome to the show.
Hi. I was just trying to call in because I had a catalytic converter replaced once, and I think I paid around $600, which I think was overpriced. And then I went into a Honda dealership, and then they tried saying, after I had already got it replaced, tried saying that my total would be around $1,100.
To have the same thing replaced?
Yes. Well, no, I did not get it done, but they charged me for the thing that I just got it replaced like a few months ago.
It just, to me, it's a shame because I hate that mechanics are getting a commission based on services, so you're punished if you take care of your car. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
It's kind of very much like healthcare, where, you know, you should be invested more in making sure your car runs well than, you know, letting it break down and make money off of it, you know?
I am excited to see her tonight go back to these guys.
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
Say, yes, confrontation.
Hey. And what they have to say for themselves on camera, you know? Just ripping people off.
Yeah.
Hey, Emma, you'll be the last call.
Okay.
How are you?
That's fine.
What's going on?
Well, I was calling in and let them know that as a female, they always try to get over you because they look at a female and go, cha-ching. Mm-hmm. Well, I cha-ching them back, and I found out that if you can go to the store, the auto parts store, get yourself a book about your car, and start going up under the hood and finding out about your car, and that's what I started doing. And in doing so, I was able to help a lot of single mothers. They help keep their car up and running to know what kind of listen for, what kind of little knocks to listen for, so that way when they take it in and they're not sure if they can fix it themselves and take it in to get it done, then that way ripped off. And a lot of times they usually catch them because I caught one mechanic trying to pull that stunt that he had changed my timing belt, and he didn't. And I literally did not pull off until I'm like, excuse me, but my belt isn't changed. And he was like shocked that I knew what the hell I was talking about.
Good for you.
So did you just go in?
I pulled a good one on him, and I'm like, if you don't change it, guess what? That's for free because I'm not paying for it.
Was it a book that you bought, or did you just go to the auto parts store and just start asking the guys who work there?
Yeah, I went to the auto parts store, but I also knew exactly what was going on because my car was sounding funny. And I'm like, okay, it's not turning right. It's doing this little stop, drop. And I said, okay.
Let me
look up under the hood and see what was going on. And found out the belt was loose. And it was like, well, you need to get that changed. And I asked the guys at the store first. And he was like, yeah, you need to have that changed. And I'm like, oh, I can't do that. That's a little heavy duty there. So I'm going to take it down here. And they charged me for it, but then they didn't change the belt.
That's actually a good plan is to talk to the auto parts guys because they don't.
Right.
They're not out there fixing it. Right. Yeah.
The Burt Show. The Burt Show.
Tracy Kinney is in studio.
Hi, Tracy.
Good morning.
Proud mom to Ella. Mm-hmm.
Yes, who woke up 4 times last night.
Oh.
Why?
I don't know. She's just, for a while there, she was actually sleeping through the night and I was all proud of my little baby. But I don't know. Lately, I guess she's just hungry a lot or she just wants to cuddle, but 4 times in one night.
So. Does she wake up just to like announce that, hey, I'm up, or is she like, hey,
no, she wants to like eat. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Which is frustrating because then you have to lay there for 30 minutes while she eats. And if you do that 4 times, that's 2 hours of sleep I'm losing.
So how many hours of sleep have you gotten last night?
Maybe four. But it's worth it. It is worth it. So I'm not going to complain.
She's so cute.
She's awesome.
We talked to Tracy a couple of weeks ago. Was it maybe a month and a half ago?
It's 2 months ago.
How old is Ella now?
She's 4 months.
So when Ella was 2 months old, she went in to the doctor and had to get a round of shots, you know, as babies have to get.
Mm-hmm.
And Tracy did not handle that too well.
Right.
when the nurse came in with the needles, I just started shaking, was almost to the point of tears, and she suggested that I go out in the hallway and Scott stay with her, and that's what I ended up doing. And now I feel awful because, like, the one point, you know, like, that was the one time my baby was in pain, and I let my own fears and my own emotions about the whole thing get in the way, and I left her. Like, I am just so upset about it.
Get a grip. So that was because when Tracy told us that, we refused to allow her in the studio. That's why she was on the phone.
No, I was on maternity leave.
Oh, okay. So Tracy told us last week that Ella was going in for round two of shots.
Yeah, it was her 4-month checkup, so she had to get shots again. And last time she had 2 shots, and this time she was scheduled for 3 shots.
And this is also where you have her microchipped, right?
No, I haven't gotten her microchipped yet, but I'm not opposed to it. So going into it, of course, Scott came with me and I was all nervous because after the last time, I just felt so crushed for at least, you know, for the longest time, because here was the one point where my baby really needed me and I left her. Like, I couldn't stay in the room because I was afraid of her being in pain. So instead of...
Now, what is it that freaked you out? Is it the... Because, like, I don't do good in medical situations, like when they do the surgery scene in Grey's Anatomy, I'm the guy who turns away. Mm-hmm. Like, is it the actual seeing
No,
her?
It's not. I mean, it's not like being, you know, feeling queasy about the whole thing. It's knowing that somebody is causing pain to my baby and her looking at me and just seeing it happen, you know, or seeing me let it happen. You know, she's looking into my eyes and I'm just standing there, like, staring at her, knowing that somebody's going to hurt her. And I was just... I don't know. I mean, and the wailing that the cry is like a cry you never hear, you know? It's not a hunger cry. It's not a I'm lonely cry. It's just like wailing because they have no idea what just happened to them and why did mommy just let that happen?
So it's almost like self...
It's an emotional thing. Like, I just couldn't bear to see it happen. So last time I just let Scott stay in there with her.
Scott, the guy who passed out while you were delivering your baby. That's amazing.
Because it's okay for her to say, oh, look, daddy's letting this happen to me.
No, I mean, I can't describe, like, I started shaking, like, the room was closing in on me. Like, I felt like I was going to fall over because I just didn't want to have to go through that. So I left the room and I sat in the hallway and I heard the whole thing go down next, you know, in the room. So
hey,
then.
Hey, Jessica.
Yes.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good.
You have something for Tracy?
Yeah.
Yes, I do. Hey. I just wanted to let her know that it happens to every mom, and it happened to me. It happens as soon as you see those needles, it's like, oh my goodness.
But aren't you projecting? Because when you say that Ella's like, I feel pain, and mommy let this happen. Don't you think the mommy let this happen part is probably not going through Ella's mind?
I know it's all in my head, but you can't convince yourself of that when it's about to happen. You know, I know that emotionally she is she's going to forget about it 2 minutes later, and she's going to love me just as much. But it's just that 2 seconds of her looking at me thinking, what the heck did you just let happen, is just crushing.
Like, but you she's think that, looking at you when it's all happening. Right.
But you think that's the look on her face, but that's not the look on her face. Like, the look on her face is, ow, that hurt.
How do you know, Jeff? You haven't seen the look on her face and the way she gazes at her mother, Tracy.
No, I'm telling you, Tracy's about to say, when you have children. She's about to say the parent.
Yes.
I can tell that she's trying to bite her tongue, but she wants to say,
I know.
If you were a parent, you'd understand.
Tracy, I know where you're coming from. My dog doesn't like the vet.
Do not compare Sasha to Ella.
And babies and aren't dogs.
And when
you pull,
and when we pull into the parking lot with Sasha, like, she knows where she's going, and she looks at me, and I'm like, you know, so I just let Jessica take her.
Jeff, it's not the same thing.
Hey, Alex. Hey, Alex.
Hi.
How are you?
Hey.
Good. How are you?
Good.
I had the same thing happen yesterday. My 4-year-old and my 6-month-old went for their shots yesterday.
You bailed
them? And my 4-year-old knows what's coming, and the fear in her eyes just makes me start crying.
It's so hard. It's the worst.
Oh, it's awful. I stay there with her because she wants me to stay, but the 6-month-old has no idea, so Daddy stays with her, and I cried the whole time with her.
Oh, well, see, I do think, though, that your kids pick up cues from you. Well, you're crying. She's, of course, going
to
cry.
Well, that, too. And that's why Scott last time told me to go in the hall, too, because he's like, she needs you, you know, she needs you to be strong. She can sense that you're scared. So you need to go in the other, you know, you need to leave the room so that she's calm about it. Mm-hmm. But then I was just crushed afterwards because I felt like when my baby needed me most, I abandoned her. So, you know, 2 days ago, she got her 4-month shots and, you know, we walked in. Scott came with me and the nurse said, I've got the chair ready for you right out here. And I'm like,
you're that mom.
That's awesome.
I'm like, no, I'm the hell not you do. Need it this time. I'm going to stay by her side. So, you know, we went through with the entire doctor's appointment and then, you know, we were waiting for the nurse to come in and she was laying there on the crinkly paper and nothing but a diaper, just all happy as can be. And I made
thinking,
Scott,
this is crinkly paper. This is the most awesome day of my life. This paper crinkles.
So I actually made Scott stand away from her, and I was the one that stood right by her head, and I held her hand. The nurse came in, and I just bit my lip, and I let it happen, and all 3 shots, and she screamed, and she wailed, and I picked her up, but I made it through it.
Good job, Tracy. Do you feel better about this experience, even though she still cried?
Yeah, much better. Because, of course, I mean, she still loves me just as much, and I've learned my lesson, and I was there for her.
Well, you think so, but when she's in therapy in, you know, 18 years, she'd be like, oh, those booster shots.
Have you noticed any hatred in her eyes since
then?
No,
she still loves me just as much, and don't put a complex in my head.
Do you think she would love you? Like, let's say you weren't breastfeeding her and there was really nothing she could get out of you and you're just the person who
hurt
her.
You know what? 6-month shots, you're coming with us.
The Burt Show.